Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are very happy to be joined by our next guest. We try to catch up with him periodically to try to get more information on our fight against the coronavirus. He is an infectious disease physician at the University of Kansas Medical Center. His name is Dr. Dana Hawkinson joining us today. Dr. Hawkinson, really appreciate you coming on today.
Hi, thank you so much.
So we led our show today with the amount of people that were down at the Lake of the Ozarks. For someone who was actually in this profession, what did you make of what happened this holiday weekend?
Yeah, you know, I mean, since all this started in the lockdown and the stay-at-home orders, you know, we've always known that people need to be out and around and seeing their loved ones and their friends and being social. You know, unfortunately, I think there were several factors involved, and certainly seeing that, you know, we think it, from a purely medical standpoint and public health standpoint, it was pretty irresponsible. We've always endorsed being outside, being active, but that is in conjunction with also the physical or social distancing. And again, we certainly know this is a hyper-contagious virus. It spreads with clinical efficiency in that there are probably high-touch surfaces there. We know that being in proximity to other people, you are at high risk of spreading it to other people. Even with the low prevalence, even in Kansas City with, you know, if we suspect maybe 2 to 4 to 5% of people have it, well, when you have 100 or 200 or 300 people in a small area, even though it is outside, that number, that 5% of people can spread it to other people quite easily, and then it can also lead to then exponential spread of the disease.
Dr. Hawkinson, this is sort of the frustration that I have when it comes to this, and I think I'm in the same situation that a lot of other people are on. I feel like there's two different sides right now. There's the people that are at the Lake of the Ozarks that don't seem to have much regard for the social distancing rules. And then there's a group of people like myself that are saying, well, I'm going to make the decision to stay inside. How do we eventually overcome this virus if you have two people who are on two very different sides on actually what to do?
You know, I think from me as a physician and us as a health system, you know, we have to continue to get out the right message and educate people and try to let them understand that this is a very real thing. And, it can't happen to us until it happens to us. And these aren't just numbers that we see every day on the TV. These are loved ones and family and friends that the virus affects and ultimately, you know, can lead to death. If not, even if you recover, you know, we see people feel horrible for weeks on end. And so it's really just kind of, you know, really imploring the public to adhere to public health guidance and doing the right thing, you know, finding a good source of truth, whether that's the CDC or the local health departments or the state health department or the health system or your other physicians or your other medical teams, and listening to that and really taking individual responsibility to do the stuff that will protect you but also protect other people, including your friends and family.
Dr. Hawkinson, I'm curious, how much do the masks actually help? And is it more for the people that don't have coronavirus, or if you do think you have it, to help from spreading it? Because kind of like CDOT was saying, it's not an all or nothing thing. It's kind of like some people are, some people aren't. They're using them at their own discretion. What do the masks actually do?
Yeah. So we have actually said this from day one, that and we're talking about the cloth face mask now. We are not talking about the N95s or the other surgical masks that we wear in the hospital. Those masks do provide protection to the wearer. The cloth face masks that we're talking about, the main goal is to help stop the spread of any of your respiratory droplets that contain the virus. If you don't have symptoms yet or are totally going to be asymptomatic, either when you're breathing or coughing, especially if you are in confined places like shops, like hair salons, like grocery stores or other restaurants. So the main goal of the mask is to really stop those larger droplets and filter those out, so the overall amount of droplets or virus that is in the air when you breathe or cough is lessened. Now, we do understand also that when compared to the surgical masks, again, although the cloth face masks aren't used for protection for the wearer, they can still filter out anywhere from 40 to 80% of things that might be filtered out by a surgical mask that may be worn in the hospital. So it does even offer the wearer a little bit of protection, but that isn't the main goal.
Dr. Hawkinson, I'm sure that you've heard baseball's plan, Major League Baseball's plan, essentially. We're going to find out what it is probably within the week. And it's kind of next man up, that if somebody gets it, then they have to self-quarantine for a couple of weeks. But they're not just going to shut down the team or shut down the league. Does that make sense to you, knowing that not only how deadly the virus is, but how easily the virus spreads, that baseball's plan is next man up and not to just shut down the show?
Yeah, you know, and this gets into so many details and influences pulling. You know, we certainly want our entertainment. We talked about this. We want our sports and our bands and our singers and our entertainment. You know, how can we do that in a safe manner? Certainly, I know Germany has started playing their Bundesliga without fans. You know, all of these groups are looking at this, whether it's Major League Baseball, the NFL, NCAA, looking at the best way to move forward in the time of COVID now. And is that it's going to start with protection of the players and the staff, and then protection of the fans by, of course, not really having fans. And so it's going to be a step-by-step process. I don't know that there's a right answer other than we know that these things, and we do have to find a life now during the time of COVID, because this probably is not going away anytime soon. You know, hopefully there will be a vaccine within the next year, 18 months or sooner, but I don't think we can hang our hats on that, and we still have to find safe ways to move forward, and that includes these teams and these entities looking at the best way to keep everybody safe. And then, again, it goes back to also personal responsibility. You know, if we are able to get back to the stadiums and watch them live.
Right now, we're talking to Dr. Dana Hawkinson. He is an infectious disease expert at KU Medical. In line with what you're saying, what do you make of some teams? So Iowa State, they are doing limited capacity. So they have 22,000 season ticket holders, and they're going to sell 8,000 single game tickets, and then they're going to practice social distancing. Do you think that we'll be at the point here in the next 3 to 4 months that we can have 30,000 people in one place and not worry about a high level of the spread of the virus?
You know, my personal opinion, I think that's tough. I think, you know, what are the best parts about those types of things? Obviously, it's tailgating and being with friends and, you know, sharing meals and drinks and all that stuff. I think it's very difficult to do. Obviously, they will probably put in place rules or systems outside of the actual stadium on what can be done and how to go about doing that in a safe manner. I think any time you do start to get people congregating together, it's always going to be a risk. And one of the questions last week was, well, why did the CDC pick 10 people? Nobody really knows. We know the 10 people, you know, still a pretty good group, but if you have 20 people, 50 people, 100, 1,000 people, you still have all those people that can have the potential to either infect other people or get infected. So we understand that when you have a large group congregating together, no matter the number, obviously the risk of spreading the disease is going to increase.
That is Dr. Dana Hawkinson joining us on the show today to update us on our fight against the coronavirus. Dr. Hawkinson, we always appreciate you making time for us. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.